Hey, I'm so excited and honored to be here. Let me get set. And so can we clap our hands one more time for Pastor Marvin and Angela? I got to tell you, my name's Johnny Green. I am one of the assistant pastors at Healing Place Church in Baton Rouge. And so Pastor Marvin has been, and Harbor Church has been, a friend of our church for years. I think maybe my first memory of Pastor Marvin that really stuck in my mind was Hurricane Gustav in 2008. And I was thinking, man, that's almost 10 years ago, which means I'm almost 10 years older, which is not great news for me. But I remember, you know, Hurricane Gustav hit and he just showed up with a trailer. You know, we went into emergency mode. You guys have done that here. I mean, you lead in this community, in that area, in natural disasters. And he just showed up with a trailer, man. Said, man, what can I do? And, you know, nobody was looking for a sermon at that time. Everybody was looking for somebody with a truck and a trailer. Isn't that right? And he just showed up. And so I so appreciate and so honor Pastor Marvin and Angela. And 25 years of marriage is amazing, and 5 kids. We're just so excited. And so I was just so honored when they asked me to be a part of that. Talked to our pastor this morning, Pastor Mike Heyman, and he says, Pastor Mike and Rachel give you their regards, and so incredible. And then I think Pastor Jim Rentz is going to be here, and Miss Esther at the next service. And so, hey, let's pray, and then let's get into the Word. Father, we love you. Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for what this day means. Lord, we know every day is a day that you made, and we are to rejoice and be glad. But Lord, today is an extra special reason. Lord, we thank you for this couple and this family, Lord, that you've given to our lives, to this community, that you've put ministry in their heart. And Lord, they have sown and have reaped in so many other lives. So God, as we open up your Word today, I pray that you would bless it and open up our hearts to receive from you. So Lord, we love you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, so if you have your Bibles, open up to Romans chapter 13. We're going to talk about honor. Just a little bit about me to tell you. My name's Johnny Green, and so I'm from Baton Rouge and Healing Place Church. I have 3 amazing boys. I have 4 boys total, but 3 of them are amazing, and we don't tell which one. I'm just kidding. We just try to keep them on their toes. And so we've lived in Baton Rouge. My wife, Roxanne, she loves you guys. And we're just honored to be here. Hey, in Romans 13, I want to talk about honor this morning as we honor Pastor Marvin and Sister Angela. I want to talk about honor. And then I was looking at this verse on honor. And in verse 6, it starts off with something really timely that we're going to read about, but I am not going to talk about. If you look in chapter 13 of Romans, verse 6, you can see it there. This is also why you pay taxes. How many are glad I'm not preaching on that this morning? I just thought that was time. I did that this week, all right? So this is also why you pay taxes. And Paul here is talking about submitting to rulers. And he says, for authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Aren't you glad that Pastor Marvin and Angela, they are full time. That doesn't mean 40 hours. That is their whole life to ministry. But look at verse 7. It says, give everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If you owe revenue, then revenue. And then he gets the financial part out of the way because it's not just restricted to that. He says, if respect, then respect. And this is what I want to focus on. This is what we're doing today. If honor, then honor. And I want to talk about honor today. And I got to tell you, I so enjoyed this week studying honor and diving into that. And so I'm a simple guy, man. I want to start with just kind of answer some simple questions. First of all, what is honor? We use that word. What is honor? Here is Johnny Green's Central Country Boy definition, okay? Honor is when we go out of our way or take time out of our schedule to recognize the importance of someone because of their character, achievement, or sacrifice. Now, I know that's long, but I want to break that down a little bit. Honor is when we go out of our way or take time out of our schedule. Honor is not something that we do in just passing. Honor is not something that we do just without thinking about it. And as I was thinking of honor, and I'll probably use this illustration several times during this message, you know, when I think of honor, probably the one that sticks out in my mind the most is when we sing the national anthem or we honor the flag. And so what do? Man, I got 4 boys. They love football, basketball, baseball. We don't have any hockey. They would probably love that. And so I am always looking for free tickets to whatever, all right, because I can't afford tickets for all those boys. And so, man, anytime anybody gives me tickets to a ball game, especially LSU football, that's our favorite. And so, man, we'll go to an LSU game, and they're all excited, and they're in purple and gold, and we're talking about popcorn and touchdowns and, man, finding our seat, and it is so exciting. And are we there to be patriotic? Absolutely not. We are there to be Tiger fans and cheer them on. And, man, our whole day has been sent. We've probably been planning this for weeks. And our whole day, in fact, I do plan because we have to eat before we get in the stadium because I definitely can't afford to feed them with stadium food. Now, I have found out if you go to LSU game, $8 will get you bottomless popcorn. I buy one for four boys and they pass it around, all right? And so, man, we have planned and all this stuff, and we are not thinking about the creation of America and World War II and all that kind of stuff, and nobody in that stadium is until what? All of a sudden, it comes time. Everyone stops what they are doing and stands up, and we sing that song, and we look at our flag. And honor is not just, hey, man, great job on the way. I'm busy. I got to get to something else. When we honor someone, that's honoring the flag. That's honoring our pastors. That's honoring people in our family. True honor requires us to stop what we're doing. Take time out of our schedule. And really what we're saying is, honoring you is more important than what I'm doing. Because, and we'll talk about this, and we talk about what we honor in a second, because it's what you do that makes my life important. And I'm not saying you make my life important, but it's the principles that we are honoring that make life really worth living. And one of the greatest honors, in another sense, that I've ever had, our church has hosted 3 police officers' funerals. Sadly, 2 in the last year and 1 this week. And it is one of the saddest occasions I've ever been a part of. I actually participated in 1 funeral. But I'm going to tell you this, it is one of the greatest honors that I've ever had. And to see last year when we did Officer Matthew Gerald's funeral, and that men, police officers of all kinds, literally from all over this nation, from California, I met men from Maine. And to think, what is the honor? Just that they said, man, we love you? No, the honor was they stopped and drove in from Maine. Motorcycles from California. The other day I was driving, I didn't get to be a part of the funeral. I was actually driving through Baton Rouge hours before the funeral and saw trucks setting up flags, saw people stopping on the side of the road because they knew where the processional was going to go. And they left their jobs, they left their homes. As we talk about honor, and I think it is so great that this church understands honor, that says, I don't care what series that we're in. This is not just another Sunday. We're going to stop what we're doing, and we are going to honor what? We are going to honor someone because of their character, achievement, or sacrifice. Now, that's kind of a view of honor. I wrote down this. This is a Christian view of honor. It's similar, but it's a big difference. Honor, Christian view, honors when we go out of our way, take time out of our schedule to recognize the character of God in another. That's truly what we are recognizing this morning in the Poole family, is the character of God. And they understand that. That's why they're such a great family. That's why they're such great pastors. You know, I thought of what Jesus said when a man came to him and he says, good teacher. And what did Jesus say? Why do you call me good? No one is good except for God. And when we truly honor in a godly way, both the giver and the receiver understand what we're really honoring today is we're honoring God. We're honoring the love of God. Now that is made tangible and visible in the life of this incredible family. Because truly it is Jesus Christ that is worthy of all honor. I love this verse in Revelation chapter 4. And one of the things I love about Revelation, especially in kind of chapters 4 and 5, it is a heavenly view. And we read Revelation, we see, okay, this is how we will see things when we're not worried about worldly things anymore. Does that make sense? This is how we'll look at the world. We're not worried about checkbook, and we're not worried about relationships here. When we truly have a godly perspective, and look at what it says. These men with crowns, in chapter 4, verse 10, says they lay their crowns before the throne of Jesus Christ and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive honor and glory. And so what are we doing today as we honor this family? We are really honoring God through this family, his character made tangible and visible in their lives. So let me say this. That's what honor is. Well, who do we honor? I wrote down three types of people that we honor. Number one, those who represent God. We honor those who represent God. In fact, it's interesting. In chapter 13 in Romans, Paul was telling them to honor the rulers of their day. You know who the emperor was? And when Paul wrote the book of Romans, it was Nero. Not a more godless man probably in the history of the world than Nero. Peter actually wrote to honor the emperor. There are some times we honor people because of their position. God places authority in our lives. That's why we honor our political leaders, not necessarily because of their character, but because of their position. Right. We honor those who represent the government. As kids, we honor our parents, not just because of their character. Sometimes it is because of their authority. And here's why. Because with their authority comes responsibility. Does that make sense? With their authority comes responsibility. My kids are to obey me, not just because the Bible says, but because I am responsible for them. I am responsible for their safety. The government probably holds me responsible. God holds me responsible. And authority is not to be used just for power. It is to be used because we have responsibility. And when I was doing this, I thought about, a couple years ago, again, I have boys, so all my illustrations are sports, fighting, war, something like that. There is no princess. There is no pink at our house. We have walls with holes in them. We don't buy white couches. It's just none of that. And so a couple years ago, somebody gave me tickets, to the Sugar Bowl. It wasn't an LSU game, so nobody in Baton Rouge wanted to go. So I got some tickets, man. I took my boy down there. And I don't know that area very well. And there was a certain area that I knew I'd been before, and I knew if I parked there, I could get out quicker. It's amazing how now I look at ball games that way. I used to be excited about going when I was a kid. Now I'm excited about leaving as an adult and getting home and getting to bed. So I knew, okay, if I could park there, it's easy access to the interstate. Well, when I got off the interstate onto Poydras Street, how sometimes when there's an event, the police kind of, certain roads are blocked off and lights and stuff like that. So they're pointing me this way. And so I stopped and asked an officer, said, I would like to get over here. How can I do that? He said, well, if you just go down to that light, you can make a U-turn at that light. Thank you very much. I go down to that light. I start to make a U-turn. Another officer comes up and he's already got an attitude. All right. Now, he's probably been fooling with crazy people all day long. And so he comes up. What are you doing? Well, I'm trying to get over there. You can't turn here. Well, that officer told me. No, he didn't. He wouldn't tell you that. Now, I got mad because he's calling me a liar. All right. And so, he don't know I'm a pastor. So I ain't, I'm just kidding. And so I'm kind of getting aggravated, but then, I realized two things. Number one, I can either spend this night in New Orleans, Paris jail, or I can spend it in the Superdome. I'm going to choose the Superdome. All right. But I also had to understand he is the authority in this situation. And why is he the authority? Just because he has a badge and a uniform? Well, maybe. But more than that, he is responsible for that street. If something goes wrong on that street, I don't care. I'm going to watch the ball game and eating popcorn and sitting up there. He's the one that's left to deal with the mess. Something goes wrong on that street, nobody's blaming me. Everybody's blaming him. Why do we respect authority besides the fact that God told us to? Because they are the ones responsible. And can I tell you this? And he didn't ask me to say this. That even works in church. Pastor Marvin and Sister Angela, they are the ones that God is going to hold responsible for the ministry here at Souls Harbor. Pastor Mike Heyman, I'll give you my illustration, is my pastor. Now, he also happens to be my best friend. We're the same age. Our kids are buddies. We've known each other for 20 years. He's the guy I watch sports with. I eat wings with. If I'm aggravated at something, I tell him. He's aggravated at something, he tells me. We have that kind of relationship. But he is also my pastor. And he is the one that God holds responsible for the ministry of Healing Place Church. And because of that, he is the one that makes the decisions. And as long as I trust him as the one God has chosen to lead this church, I will tell him what I think. But at the end of the day, I'm going to abide by the decisions that he makes. And I want to encourage you here at Souls Harbor, and I know all of you already do this, to keep that attitude. And you know why I do that? Because I believe that's the best decision for me. You know, it's interesting that in the command, I didn't give them this scripture. The New Testament calls this the first commandment with promise. Right. When the Bible says, honor your mother and father, and it will go well with you in the land. I believe God blesses when we honor and when we reverence those that he has placed in authority. So some people we honor because of their position, those who represent God. But I think, and this is easier, we honor those who reflect God. We honor those who display the character of God. And that's what we see in Pastor Marvin. We honor those, and not just those, but you may or not have heroes in your life, those that display, that you, whether in history or somebody that you know, that you say, man, I saw the love of God. I understand God's love because of this person. Well, then we honor that person. I understand God's mercy because of this person. Well, then we honor that person. And then the third one, and this is really special to me, and this kind of takes those two, maybe puts them together. We honor those who have paid a price for others. You know, when we honor that flag, and my kids are young, my oldest, I have a 12 and a 14-year-old, so they're starting to understand. But my little kids, and using that ball game illustration, again, man, they're so excited, and they're fidgety, and I mean, they want to yell and scream and all this kind of stuff. But when that anthem comes on, and they say, please turn towards the flag, I tell them to get still. And why do we do that? Just a piece of cloth, but it's what that piece of cloth represents. It represents thousands of men and women that have paid a price, whether that price was leaving their family, whether that price was a physical price, or some of them, and we know this, paid the ultimate price. We honor those that pay a price for others. And again, one of the best honors I ever had, I got asked to speak at a men's meeting at a church in Central Louisiana, that's where I'm from, the Friday before Father's Day. It's kind of a father's thing. And my dad was there. And as I was talking about this, I talked about the relationship between David and Solomon. Because David fought wars. David paid a heavy price. And David always wanted to build a temple for God. But God said, no, I need you to fight. It's your son that's going to build the temple. And David secured the peace all around him. He fought battles so that there was peace all around him. And then he secured the finances. And he handed that peace and finance over to Solomon. Why was Solomon able to build? Because Solomon didn't have to worry about fighting. And I was able to thank my dad at that meeting because he was David and I'm Solomon. My dad didn't grow up in a Christian home. My grandfather was not a Christian at all. His upbringing was completely different than mine. But he fought battles so that I wouldn't have to. And he paid a price for my future. And we honor those that pay a price for our future. As Solomons, we honor the Davids. Now, I hope I'll be able to be a David and fight some battles for my sons so that they can even build something that I could never even imagine. You know, there's a great piece of literature. It's written by Thomas Paine, and he wasn't a godly man, but he said this. You know, he talks about a man when it was come to the Revolutionary War that said, well, I just want peace in my day. And he said, that's not a good father. A good father says, if there has to be conflict, let it come in my day so that my children can have peace. And I'm going to tell you what, we honor the Pools this morning. They have paid a price. Yes. Her mom talked about her loading up boxes and putting them in the back and the church when it was smaller and things going on. And we'll never know sometimes the price that other people pay for us. But it is important that we stop our life and honor those that have paid a price so that someone else can build something that gives glory to God. So that's who do we honor? Here's another one that's important. Why do we honor? And I think this is key. I think the first reason we honor is this. What we honor will be repeated. What we honor will be repeated. I believe what we honor directs our future. You see, today is not just about the Pools. Today is about some kid in the youth group or some kid in children's ministry that remembers this day when we honored a spirit of sacrifice and generosity and obedience to God, and they thought, well, if that's what gets celebrated, that's what I want to be. And we want to raise a generation of Marvin and Angela Pools that'll make a difference in Hammond and in Baton Rouge and Louisiana and move on to Texas and Dallas and Florida and Africa and Europe and go all over the world. And that's why it's so important that we take time to honor, because what we're doing when we stop and honor, we are teaching the next generation. You know, I thought it was interesting. I talk about my kids again. My dad took my two younger ones, 9 and 7, about a week ago. In Baton Rouge, they have the USS Kidd. It's a World War II ship, and there's a couple things. And so he took them there. And then there's a place downtown Baton Rouge where it has a wall with the names of every man and woman that has laid down their life for our country that's from Louisiana. And so he kind of showed them that, and they back. And then he took them. And my dad loves history, and he was in the military, so he does this well. And so he kind of backed them up, and he showed them this wall, and he says, this is all the people from Louisiana. Now, multiply that times 50. That's the thousands of men and women that have died for our freedom. And my little 7-year-old, who's, you know, got a little badass fighter attitude anyways, he said, Granddad, I want to be one of those men. Now, here's the thing. He didn't know what he was saying. And as his parent, I don't want him to be one of those men. But I'm going to tell you, one of the greatest things that we could accomplish is when we honor sacrifice and obedience in such a way that our children and the next generation raise their hand, say, I want to be one of those men. I want to be one of those women. I want to be a pastor. I want to be a missionary. I want to be a businessman, a businesswoman that goes out and is successful, and I can fund the kingdom of God, and I can fund missionaries. I want to be someone that teaches Sunday school. I want to be a leader in the church. And we're only going to have that if we honor those who do the things that we want repeated. Honor is as much about the next generation as it is about the generation that we're honoring. And so why do we honor? First of all, because what we honor will be repeated. And then the second reason is this. I believe what we honor will be defended. I firmly believe that what we refuse to honor in our day, we will neglect to defend tomorrow. And so we honor because what we honor will be defended. In that sense, honor protects us. And when we refuse to honor our heroes today, I believe we will not have heroes to honor tomorrow. And when we don't have heroes, then evil has no boundaries. We've got to create fighters for the next generation. When we stop honoring something and we say, well, it's really not that important. And I'm going to tell you, we live in an age of criticism. Our age loves to tear down heroes. Well, you know they had this and this. Well, don't you see the other side? And a lot of times there are other side. And none of our heroes are perfect. Jesus said it. No man is good, only the Father. But we live in an age that loves to tear down and criticize. And we, you know, we celebrate people that do crazy things and, you know, all this that kind of age. And my fear is that no champions will be raised up in the next generation. And that our country in the next generation will not have anybody that believes in anything, and they don't stand for anything. And I know this, evil people are honoring what they believe in on a constant basis. And in the kingdom of God, we have got to stand for something, honor those who stand for something, so that the next generation will have champions and heroes that stand for something. It protects our future. And then the third thing, the third reason I believe that we honor, because I believe if we give honor, we will receive honor. I just believe that's important. Yeah. If we give honor, the Bible is clear that you reap what you sow. Right. You know, one of the most interesting stories in the Bible, again, go to David. David is a great study in honor and things like that. You read about David when he was young, and he was serving Saul at a time where Saul was not a godly man. But David honored Saul because of his position at every chance he got. Saul threw a spear at him. He honored Saul. And he gave Saul the credit for his accomplishments. Well, what happens? Years later, God puts David on the throne which I think is important. We are free to honor others because God is in control of our destiny. Sometimes we're afraid to honor someone because, if I honor them, then that pushes me down the line. No, that's not true at all. When we honor someone, God is in control of our destiny. And God put David on the throne, and there's an interesting story, and it's kind of tucked in the middle of that story with David and Bathsheba. But there was a war, and Joab was his king. And Joab went to fight the battle. David stayed home. Joab won the battle, and all he had to do was to ride into that city and take the city. You know what he did? He stopped the troops, and he sent home for David. He said, David, you come ride in this city because you're the king. I fought the battle. You be the king. You know what's interesting? Because David honored others when he was in that position, others honored David when they had a chance to go the other way. You know what? If I want my kids to honor me, I better honor my dad. I better honor my wife. If I want honor in my life, I should be giving honor. The Bible is clear that we reap what we sow. And then the last thing is this. How do we honor? How do we honor others? The first one is submission. We submit to those that God has put under us. Now, that's not crazy obedience. In fact, I would say this. I believe that the greatest truths of the Bible are 1 degree from heresy. They're just 1 degree from craziness. I mean, what's the greatest truth in the Bible? That God loves us and saves us, and we do not earn. It's not because of what we do. It's because of what he did. It is easy to take that and make an excuse to go live a crazy life. And so sometimes you got to be careful because the greatest truths of the Bible, they're 1 degree, kind of 1 inch from being crazy. And submission is the same way. There are people that have taken the idea of submission and they've done crazy things with it. That doesn't mean it's not a godly principle. And so the way that we honor people, if God has put them over us, we submit to them as long as we believe that God has put them over us. The second thing that we do is we acknowledge, and this is what we're doing today. We take time to acknowledge, I believe in what you're doing, and I want to honor that. And the third one I think is the most important. We live a life of honor. What is the great? I talked about my dad paid a price so that I could live a better life. What's the greatest way that I could honor it? Look, I've written him a card. I just kind of throw this out. I did something a couple years ago. I thought, and I sometimes think crazy, even morbid thoughts. I've thought about what I will say at my dad's funeral. Now, some people be freaked out by that. I kind of think that way. And then all of a sudden it hit me. If I say that at his funeral, everybody's going to hear it except for who? Except for him. I sat down and wrote my dad a letter. Dad, here's what I'm saying. It's your funeral. Just so you know, I want you to hear all the great things that I'm going to say about you. So how can I honor my dad? I can write him a card. Man, I take him to lunch. I spend time with him. But you know the greatest way I can honor my dad is to obey God with everything that I have in me. I honor my dad with the life that I live. How do we honor the sacrifice that Jesus Christ paid for us? We worship him in music, we spend time in prayer, and all that is important. But the greatest honor that we could give him is the life that we live. I love what Paul says in Philippians. He says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. The New Living Translation says it this way. It says, I press on so that I can be everything that he saved us for. And the greatest way that we honor someone that has paid a price for us, that has sacrificed, that has displayed the character of God in this world is by living a life that they would be proud of. I want my dad to be proud of me. And I'm going to tell you today, and I honestly can say this, the Harbor Church is doing this. You have a name not only in Hammond, in Baton Rouge. Man, we love your church. People know the Christ-like character and the servant attitude of this community of faith. And the greatest way that we could honor the Pools is by the life we live and living a life that reflects the character of God to others. And I want to close with this scripture, 1 Timothy 5:17. And then we're going to pray. It says, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching.